so far, sorry to post and leave it here. We're about to bust this pot, come in your ear, cause there's too much news, not enough fuel. Somebody's gotta pass it on to you, and that's us. It's smart, we trust, locked and loaded, ready to bust. It's the unused, Muse News, unused, Muse News, unused, Muse News, unused, Muse News. It's the unused, Muse News, unused, Muse News. Damn right we're talking to you, cause we got a shit ton more news.
Welcome to Podstop Episode 2, and we're going to start off by giving a huge shout out to Matt Crafty Cruz for that amazing new intro theme. Thanks a lot, Matt. And you can find Matt's stuff by clicking on the sidebar over at musenews.com, and you can download some of his stuff. He's got amazing themes, as I'm sure most of you have already heard.
Hey, it's Podstop number 2, number all your two. Unused Muse News.
I am Andre, otherwise known as J-Muse Bus Driver.
I am Mike, otherwise known as the Mythbusters guy.
The other guy.
The other guy.
As most
looks
people
like
are...
the guy from Mythbusters.
No, you sound like the guy from Mythbusters. Really? Nobody knows what you look like.
What, really?
Yeah, that's what he said.
Oh. I sound like the guy from Mythbusters?
Yeah, I don't know which guy, though.
I've never watched I can't even say
you can't
it.
Even say Mythbusters.
Mythbusters. Mythbusters. Yay! Yeah, no, I have no idea what that show is. I know what it is, but I don't watch it, so I don't know what the guy sounds like.
That's a good show.
And no one ever, recognizes their own voice anyway.
Whatever.
So.
I like that we got a couple of emails and they referred to you as the other guy.
I know, fuck. The other guy.
I don't know my name either.
You're looking at me with lust in your eyes.
No. No. That's not lust.
That's not lust. Oh, another myth debunked. All right.
so you...
Damn!
I'm trying to find out who said that.
That was,
I don't remember who it was.
STE Boost. STE Boost. I'm too old to understand what that shit means. What the STE would stand for.
Staboost.
Staboost? Like Stabone?
Tweeted us and said, he emailed us and said, I like the pod. The bat stuff was informative. Never read a bat comic.
Well, which is wrong, Staboost.
There's a problem there, Staboost. You had a good flow and rapport with the other guy.
Sorry, forgot his
my
name.
My little sidekick.
Yeah, I'm R2 fucking D2.
So that was a thank you, Staboost.
All right, so Staboost, you've never read a bat comic.
Here's your chance. Number one, all over again.
I know.
How many decades of history wiped out?
I know. I feel my soapbox needs to come out again for my rants.
Here he goes, folks.
But first, I'll just read you the story. So Tony Daniel, he's a... comic artist, writer over at DC, and so we'll just read this piece from the USA Today. Did you notice, though, most of the stories I often get you to read are all from Fox News?
No.
Yeah, because they just have the funniest shit.
Yeah?
Yeah.
From the network that brought you Married with Children and The X-Files.
Wow, you're dating
Did
yourself.
They name the character on The X-Files Fox after the network?
I don't think so.
Or is it just coincidence?
Coincidence. They named Scully after Vince Scully, who was like the voice of the Dodgers in
if
L.A.
If we only had the truth.
Okay, back to my story from the USA Today.
The truth is out there.
Wednesday marks the first Detective Comics number one since March 1937, and the first to ever see the title's cowled mainstay, Batman. All that history is not lost on Tony S. Daniel. Daniel is the writer and artist for the newest Adventures of the Caped Crusader as part of DC Comics' The New 52 relaunch. Basically, they're relaunching 52 of their titles, all at number one. Detective Comics is the first Batman-centric title to debut from the new line of comics, preceding the first issues of Batman, Batman and Robin, and Batman the Dark Knight. Batman Dark Knight, David Finch comic, is fucking awesome.
David really Lynch good. Did a comic?
David Finch.
Oh.
And David Lynch doing Batman would be awesome.
To me, Eraserhead sounds like a villain from the Batman.
Egghead, Vincent Price, like we talked about last week. No, right. What would be cool would be Michael J. Anderson would totally play Robin. The little
Michael
backward...
J. Fox.
Yeah, no, he's got Parkinson's. He's not playing
He'd
Robin.
He'd be a shaky Robin.
Holy. I shouldn't have laughed at that. I love you, Michael J. Fox. No, Michael J. Jackson. Jackson. Now we're really... Wow, it's too late.
One more coffee.
Yeah. No, Michael J. Anderson. He's the backwards-talking dancing midget from Twin Peaks.
He'd really?
He would be an awesome... He was in Carnival, too.
A midget Robin?
Yeah, well, think about it. Robin should be small. That would be awesome. And he would talk backwards? Batman would be like, Robin, let's go fight the Joker. Parval, don't be Batman.
Folks, you know, if you download this pod and play it backwards, you can hear what Mike just said.
Yep.
I'll just tell you, he said, was talking Swedish.
I said, Paul is dead. to boost.
If that guy played Robin, Batman wouldn't have to throw the batarang. He could actually throw Robin.
Whew. No one's throwing Michael J. Anderson around. What's the matter with you?
Nobody tosses a dwarf.
So, yeah, Tony Daniel says, there was a lot of pressure when I found out I'd be doing this, come up with something really, really good. I'm not sure how many times I want to say really, but really good. Whatever that is. Basically...
How do you feel?
I am
as a collector of Batman
out of my mind about
did
this
they do anything to wrap up the originals?
Well, see, this is the thing, right? Batman has been in constant publication, constant circulation for 70 years. So, nothing's ever been, you know, shit will just fall by the wayside, new stuff will come up, blah, 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 blah. So what happened was there was a storyline, pardon my ignorance, comic book geeks, but I didn't read it, it was called Flashpoint, and that apparently has sort of reset the DC universe again, because they constantly sort of reset their universe. I don't know why, really. I don't know why, but they do. So, yeah, so this Flashpoint thing happened, whatever it is, I don't know. And so these new titles, these new 52s, the number ones, they're going to be set 5 years ago. I don't know why 5 years ago. But they're set 5 years ago, and at least in terms of tech, Batman is still relatively new. He's not, you know...
2006?
Well, see, that's the thing, right? Like, what's 5 years ago? I know 5 years ago...
Remember
they had,
5 years ago?
Five years ago they had a series called 52, which was a comic every week for a year, and it was going around this whole kind of like... I didn't read that either, folks. Some earth-shattering kind of infinite crisis type storyline where at the end of it, all the comics were 1 year later and there was all these different changes. So I don't know. I don't try to keep up on it. To be honest, with the continuity and the chronological kind of stories, I don't give a shit. I just read each story arc within each title as it is. I don't care if they predate, you know, Joker killing Robin. I don't care if they're, you know, predate Grant Morrison's fucked up shit in Batman that I still don't understand. And now Dick Grayson's Batman. I just read them as they are. So that's what I'll do with these ones. But why I'm fucking pissed is I have every Batman, not every, I'm missing some. Send me your back issues, folks. But
yeah,
you know, I'll
like
never...
that number one Detective Comics, original number one Detective Comics.
Which is nowhere near worth as much as 27. Because 27 is the first appearance of Batman.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You need smack to borrow me mine. Right down.
Smack you down like the fucking Joker. Anyway, so yeah, my pissed off with this whole new relaunch of number ones. I have almost every Batman comic since Frank Miller's year one, which was, as I said last week, Batman 404. I have every Detective Comics since year two launched, which was in Detective Comics 575. Now, they're up around the 870 mark. So that's like 300 issues straight. That's awesome. They were like 130 issues shy of hitting 1,000. Do you know how cool that would be to have a number 1,000? You know when a number 1,000 will happen again? Never. I will be dead. Even if I live to be 100, I'll be dead by the time they reach 1,000.
They should just start with 1,000.
That's
and work their way down.
And work their
like,
way down.
Like Memento.
It's like the Curious Case of Benjamin Batman. It's going backwards.
He turns into a boy. His parents get killed. Like in issue number one.
He's like, fuck, I should have saw this coming. He ends up in daycare
Could've
with the
Joker.
Could
have read the original comics.
Jeez Louise. So I don't know, you know, that's what they're doing there.
Do you think that it's actually going to spark new readers, as I believe the rationale behind why they're doing it?
I'll be honest with you. They are a big conglomerate. You know, it's all owned by Warner Brothers. They know business much more than I do. So they must have weighed their options, saying how many fans are we going to lose because we renumbered everything, and how many new fans are we going to get? and the new fan getting definitely will outweigh the old fans. Because I don't know how many old fans are going to suddenly turn around and be like, what? Fuck! I was on issue 874, now it's number one, I quit.
You.
No, I already have Batman Detective Comics number one. It's in my sub right now. I'll pick it up this weekend.
You're ranting, you're
and I'm
rave,
pissed. But I'm pissed about this, folks. And I'm still buying it, right. And honestly, though, the biggest kick in the nuts, though, is that they're relaunching Batgirl with a number one. And Barbara Gordon is going to be Batgirl again.
Hmm.
Which is nuts.
Well, I hope she gets shot again.
Yeah, because she's got her legs back.
Yeah.
So somehow
Her legs weren't chopped off.
No, but she was paralyzed for the last 20 years.
Became Oracle. I know a little bit.
Yeah. Good for you.
I play Arkham Asylum.
Oh, fucking Arkham Asylum. That's cool that you play Arkham Asylum, but really, man. Arkham Asylum and you like The Dark Knight. That's...
I read The Long Halloween or whatever it's called.
There you go, which is basically most of that finds its way into Dark Knight. Jeff Loeb, Tim Sale style. But we need to name this segment. We kind of want to open the show just sort of like, hey, here's some tweets, some emails, some comments. This is what the fans are saying, just to sort of shout out. But we don't want to just say shout out. So
I suggested.
Andre suggested, thanks for sucking our dick. I kind of vetoed thanks for sucking our dick. However,
you think about it, if you'd like to suck our dicks, please write Michael Marson. Okay,
again, my name.
Someone's going to stalk you and rob you of all of your Batman comics.
Well, no, if they stalk me and suck my dick, that's a different story.
Once again,
folks, my address is...
Apparently you live with the teacher from Charlie Brown.
I do, and she ain't sucking my dick, so...
There we go.
So, yeah.
For example, Potter SD. Did we talk about him already?
No, we just did Staboost, and we informed him to go out and buy Batman comics.
Right. Only 10 minutes into first pod, and already think you guys are really funny. You know that abbreviation stuff.
Well, that's Twitter for you, right?
I
hate Twitter.
You sound V. I guess that's very at home on Mike. I'll look forward to more.
Andre on is at home on me, folks.
Let's see. Fitzman 73, who was actually our first S-file on MuseNews.com.
Woo!
Liking Podstop so far, better than most first episodes I've listened to in the past. You guys sound like you're having fun.
We are not. This is work.
You had to drag your ass over here at 10 o'clock in the evening.
I've been at work since 7 a.m. I gotta be at work tomorrow at 7 a.m.
Oh, cry me a river.
I'm tired. I actually am kind of sick. I am literally sick and tired.
But a major shout out to one Mr. Jason Muse, who after...
Yeah.
Who? That's it.
Who the fuck is that?
We're done.
Is that the guy from Mythbusters?
What the fuck is the internet?
What the fuck's the internet?
Who,
seriously, of all the lines from all the Kevin Smith movies, the two that I will use until the day I die is, what the fuck's the internet? And whenever someone mentions sucking dick, it's always like... What is it, 26, 27? I can never remember the numbers, but I got the gist.
You're kicked off this pod for life. It's 37.
37, 27. Whatever.
You're back in the Batman land.
It's a recession.
227. And Jack A was there, and she sucked dick too.
Jack A could suck my dick still. Jack A, if you're listening. Sherman Hemsley could suck my dick.
Oh,
I love Sherman Hemsley.
Last week you admitted to wearing women's undergarments. This week you want a black reverend to suck you
off. I just want to hang out with Sherman Hemsley, man, because that guy's fucking funny.
Anyway, moving on up. I'd like to thank Mr. Muse. Talked to him earlier this week, and he was very complimentary to the website. And
that's awesome. I still don't know who Jay Muse is. No, I'm just kidding, Jay. Jason. Jay. Mr. Muse. I don't know. I'm not on a first name basis with the guy. I'll call him Sir.
Call him Large Cock.
Large Cock?
Large Cock Muse.
Chunky Lover 69.
Chunky. Boo Boo Kitty Fuck.
Boo Boo Kitty Fuck. Boo Boo Kitty Fuck, thanks for liking the site. Boo Boo Kitty Fuck. That's awesome, actually.
Now, well, that's from James on Bob Strike Back.
See, I only remember what the fuck's the internet. Would he get mad if I call him Boo Boo Kitty Fuck all the time now?
Now, leading into a bit of a... I don't know, maybe not. In a bit of a lead-in to our next story, Jay was on an airplane once. I remember him telling this story. And he had one of these fake cigarettes. Basically, I don't know if it was a joke cigarette or something that
people trying to quit smoking, like, have to...
Inhaler.
Yeah, something like that.
Nicotine inhalers.
And they freaked out on him on the airline. And I guess he got into some altercation with the people on the plane. And Kevin was in another part of the airplane. He just heard the altercation. He was like, I hope that's not Muse. I hope that's not Muse. And it turned out to be Muse.
Ah, boo-boo kitty fuck. But speaking of planes...
Yes.
Speaking of... Last week we talked about school in the States.
Pants on the ground. Pants on the ground.
Yeah, the old fucker's pants on the ground. Where the principal, Principal Shiplin, banned low-hanging trousers on the kids. And we had this big, long discussion about that. But apparently... Mm-hmm. Apparently, the fight against low-riding trousers has escalated. Do you want to read the story, my friend?
Ah, Green Day singer Billy Joel Armstrong. I always want to say Billy Joel.
He's not from Allentown, I don't think.
Nor is Billy Joel.
Really?
He's from Levittown. Allentown's just a place he sang about.
Oh.
He also didn't start the fire.
You know, I was trying to think of a start the fire joke while you came up with that.
This is from...
He did crash his car in a drunken... driving incident.
Great.
Come on, Billy Joel's a lush.
This is from the Mirror. Green Day singer Billy Joe Armstrong kicked off flight over low-riding trousers. Green Day frontman Billy Joel Armstrong says his sagging trousers cost him a seat on a Southwest Airlines flight. The singer-guitarist for the San Francisco Bay Area rock band sent a message to his Twitter followers expressing his indignation at being thrown off an Oakland to Burbank flight for wearing his trousers too low. Just got kicked off Southwest flight because my pants sagged too low. What the fuck? No joke, he wrote.
So that's, you know...
You don't fly. You know, I don't think you've ever been on an airplane.
Nope.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm a base brat, too.
Mm.
From my dad and my brother are Air Force.
From Allentown.
No, Levittown, my friend. I was for school uniforms. I'm somewhat against low sagging pants because I,
whatever. As you said last week.
They make people look uneducated.
But should people get kicked off a plane for wearing them?
Exactly.
An ABC 7 news producer who was on the same flight told the station that a flight attendant approached Armstrong as the plane was getting ready to take off and asked him to hike his trousers higher. The producer, Cindy Q, says Armstrong initially responded by asking the attendant if there weren't better things to do than worry about that.
What, was his cock hanging out?
I don't understand why, like, what the big deal was anyways.
I don't know.
All those fuckers got on planes with box cutters once, yet were worried about low sagging pants.
Maybe his ass was hanging out. Maybe he had objectionable boxers.
How long are you going to roll with this?
Until you bring up the next story, my friend.
Also, from this week's news, more Southwest craziness.
This is from the Mail Online.
Right. Southwest Airlines passenger restrained and arrested.
Is it also Southwest, too?
Yeah, same airline. Southwest Airlines passenger restrained and arrested after refusing to turn off his cellular phone. An altercation broke out on a Southwest Airlines flight after a passenger refused to turn off his cell phone. The incident occurred on Monday as the flight from Phoenix was coming into El Paso. Southwest Airlines spokeswoman Whitney Elshinger, Whitney Houston, said the man turned his cell phone on as the flight was landing. Miss Eishinger says when the man was asked to turn off his phone, he did not, and when the plane pulled up to the gate, El Paso authorities met the aircraft. The passenger was restrained on board, she added. El Paso International Airport spokesman Jeff Schultz said officials interviewed witnesses who were on board the flight. The man's name and other details were not released.
Now, you stop the story right at the point where I'm going to, you know, I disagree with Southwest for
the pants.
Billy Joe's ass crack. I agree with Southwest for this one because the very next line in that story is using just one mobile phone or electronic device during a flight can cause a plane system to shut down, according to a study earlier this summer. So let me tell you.
How did they do that study? Did they have a plane in the air and turn on a cell phone? Let's see what happens.
Well, no, the plane's on the tarmac or in a fucking hangar and it's running.
Planes on the ground.
Andre's sounding like a fool with his planes on the ground. So yeah, shut off your fucking cell phone, fucker. Because, let me tell you, I've never flown. I'm afraid to fly. If I'm on a plane and some yahoo turns on his cell phone to check his Facebook account to see if his best friend uploaded a new picture of a fucking kitty cat and the plane goes down and I die, I am haunting that fucking cat. I'm haunting that guy's friends and family for the rest of time.
Just I didn't know you were afraid. I didn't know you were afraid of flying.
Planes crash.
Cars crash.
Yeah, but
cars crash more frequently than planes.
Yes, they do, but guess what? If I'm in a car crash, I'm much more likely to walk away from it than if I'm in a plane crash, unless it's being piloted by fucking Sully Sullenberger or whatever his name was.
Or you're Bruce Willis in Unbreakable. That was also a train crash, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Shit. Mm-hmm. Well, you and Richie Valens, I guess.
La 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 bamba. And Buddy Holly.
Yep. Big Bopper?
No, Big Bopper didn't get on the plane.
Yeah, it was a Big Bopper, Buddy Holly, and Richie Valens, and it was...
Somebody didn't get on the plane. I watched the Lou Diamond Phillips movie. I know my
shit. I thought it was... Wasn't it Jerry Lee Lewis that didn't get on the plane? Or Waylon Jennings? It was one of some country guy, I think, didn't get on the plane.
Some country guy.
Richie!
That movie makes me cry.
Every time I get on a plane, actually. Every time I do get on a plane, I've flown a couple of times now. I always think of that scene from La Bamba. It's like, ugh.
See, I'm more probably thinking of scenes from Alive. I'm looking around. If I was on a plane, I would look. I'd look around to see who was hungry, who looks delicious.
Mm.
It's maybe the larger man in seat F6. I want to sit next to him just in case, you know, we're trapped. I can nibble on that gut.
If they let him on the plane. I'm sure a lot of you people listening, Kevin Smith himself had some issues with Southwest Airlines, where they booted him off a plane for, you know, what they stated basically was, and this is an exact quote from Southwest, is if a customer cannot comfortably lower the armrest and infringes on a portion of another seat, a customer seated adjacent would be very uncomfortable, and a timely exit from the aircraft in the event of an emergency might be compromised if we allow a cramped, restricted seating arrangement. When that happened about a...
Well, at least they're going to minimize accidents if they stop people from talking on cell phones.
Yeah, I don't know what they're doing here. But that happened in February of last year and caused a big fucking shitstorm as Kevin took to Twitter and rightfully put them in their place, because as Kevin stated, he had his armrest down. He didn't understand what the problem was.
Didn't he ask the person sitting next to him if she was okay with him sitting there? And she said, yeah, because it's a short flight.
No, I don't know about that.
I think I remember reading that. Like, the person that was sitting next to him was okay with it because if it was a short flight.
I believe it's the exact same flight that Armstrong was on from Oakland to Burbank.
The fucking moon? Oh, wait. Sorry.
Not that Armstrong. It's right, Neil Armstrong.
I thought fucking they went to the moon, man. That makes sense why you can't have low-hanging trousers on the moon.
It was not a short flight. And they're like, that's like the airline Nazis.
No flight for you. Come back one year.
And Kev said something along the lines of, you know, he felt at that moment that, you know, I'll lose weight, but I'm not putting on thinner clothes. And I'm still the same person I was when I was 60 pounds heavier.
Maybe that's what Billy Joe did.
I'm still the same person I was when my pants were hanging lower.
No, maybe Billy Joe was, I don't know. I haven't seen pics of Billy Joe lately. Maybe he let himself go a bit and his pants were big. But then he lost weight before he went on Southwest because he heard what happened to Kevin. But he didn't have time to buy new pants, so his pants were hanging low.
Pants on the ground.
No more of the pants on the ground. I swear to fuck. I will beat you down.
Right.
So yeah, so if you're worried about... having trouble boarding a Southwest flight because you're maybe a little more rotund.
Or even if you're thin.
Or if you're worried about being my lunch, if I'm on that flight with you and we go down in the Andes, there are apparently new ways with which to lose weight and or stay thin. And it's totally not what you would think. It's a complete antithesis of the general ideas surrounding the chronic. The weed, baby.
That's right.
The ganja.
Something that Kevin is currently very much an advocate of.
You know, I'm not against it. It just makes me sick.
Really?
Yeah, I turn green and I
drive. I can't picture you high at all.
I'm a horrible high. I'll get high. I'll laugh maybe for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And then I will fucking maybe for half an hour just kind of like zone out. and then for like an hour be paranoid beyond belief, and then spend the next half hour dry heaving in the bathroom.
That's like me drunk that the last time happened at your place.
Oh, there you go. I don't remember you zoning out. I just remember you hitting on everybody.
Yeah, everything that moved, including Naboo,
cat. My poor cat Naboo still has scars.
That's right, folks. He's named his cat after episode ones.
It's a fucking planet. I didn't name my kid.
Fucking Jar Jar Binks resides on that planet.
Yeah, so what? Jar Jar's not as bad as everybody says.
In your mind, your cat is fucking... In your cat's mind, it would rather have been called Alderaan.
Yeah, the planet that's blown up.
No! Anyways, go to your story.
Yeah, wasn't I talking about pot?
Right.
Yeah, so this is from MSNBC. We're all familiar with the stereotype of the typical pot smoker. A lumpy, lazy couch potato with one hand wrapped around the remote and the other elbow deep in a bag of nacho cheese Doritos. Fuck, I wish I had some nacho cheese Doritos right now. I'm hungry. But new research out of France, God bless you, gives a different spin to the stereotypical stoner. Cannabis is supposed to increase appetite, says Dr. Yann Lee Strutt, a psychiatrist at Louis Moriez Hospital in Cologne, France, and co-author of a new study in the American Journal of Epidemiology. Wow, good for me. I could be on ER. So we hypothesized that cannabis users would be more likely to have higher weight than non-users and be more likely to be obese. First and foremost, it's interesting that this study found contrary evidence to that, but why would you do a study like that to begin with?
So you can have an excuse to get high.
I think so. Yeah, I really do. We found that cannabis users are less... Who paid for that? You go to a board and say, hey, we want to do a study. It's going to cost a lot of money. It's going
to
require...
We want to do a study.
Yeah, we want to... Fucking Cheech and Chong were on the board of directors. Tommy Chong was like, yeah, man, you do that study.
Pretty good.
Thank you.
Yeah, man, that's what I was saying. You should do that study.
Take off of the whole show and do a whole Cheech and Chong album.
You should do a Cheech and Chong.
He's not here, man.
I love that record, man. That's a great album. Yeah, fuck. You should get high, get some cheese Doritos, and listen to Cheech and Chong. We find that cannabis users are less likely to be obese than non-users, he says. We were so surprised. We thought we had made a mistake, or that our results were due to sample we studied. So we turned to another completely independent sample and found exactly the same association. So they did this another... twice. That's awesome.
Hey, Frank. Didn't work the first time.
Yeah. I guess Frank's not French, Dave.
Hey, Louis.
Oh, Francois.
Etienne.
Ouvrez la fenêtre. Fermez la porte. My thought on this is, so apparently if you smoke pot, you're skinnier. I think that's because, you know, since pot's illegal, people have to, like, spend a lot of time looking for it. So they're, like, walking around, you know.
So you're saying they don't exercise?
They don't have their license because they forgot to go to the DMV that day to get it renewed.
Oh,
so they're walking around, you know.
That's why they're losing the weight.
Yeah, and then they finally get their pot and they smoke it and then they eat. If pot was legal and you had access to pot, like, every day, maybe you would put on some weight. Like I said, I don't smoke pot, so I don't. I'm just making hasty generalizations. That's what the name of
you is. Also don't exercise.
I also don't exercise. Oh, dude, I got two kids, two jobs. I exercise enough. That's what, if for ever any reason we wanted to have a segment on this show, we could call it Hasty Generalizations. Because that's all I do.
Hasty Generalizations.
There you go. Speaking of, you know,
thin folk.
Body image and thin folk, and if they want, you know, yeah, I guess you could, you know, try to lose the weight and stay thin by
get yourself on a Southwest Airlines
get
flight.
Get yourself on a Southwest Airlines
flight.
Assuming
that you have properly hiked trousers.
Yep.
And are not on a cell phone.
Exactly. Or if you were in, I was going to say, if you were in Danish. What the fuck is it? What is a Danish doctor? What if you're a Danish? Denmark! There we go.
You're a Dane.
You're a Dane. See, that's what I thought. Maybe they lived in Dane. This guy is seriously in, should have been an Iborg. Because if he was
from the ice news.
We've done ice news stuff before, haven't we?
I don't know. But that's a
news
cool,
from the Nordics.
That's a pretty cool newspaper name.
Ice News. Yeah. Ice to meet you. You did that joke last week. So anyway, from the ice news, we have an anorexia doc who defends sex toy treatment.
This story is fucking
this
ludicrous.
This story is fucked up. So a Danish doctor is claiming that he took naked photographs of anorexia patients and forced them to use sex toys in an attempt to make them feel better about their bodies.
I often try this, it doesn't work. The 50-year-old physician who specializes in treating people with eating disorders at Rijkshospitalet in Oosterabarro has told the court that the methodology used on at least 5 women was part of his alternative treatment. Anorexic patients, generally speaking, hasty generalizations, have a hard time accepting how they look naked. That's why I took a number of photographs of genitalia to get them adjusted to seeing them, he said, according to Metro Express paper. Now, okay. How about...
If it was only that simple.
How about instead of taking pictures of their snatch, you just buy them a mirror? And say, hold this up to your snatch in the privacy of your own home.
Hold on here while I set up this tripod.
Yeah. Talking about how he made one patient use a sex toy in front of him, the doctor told
now,
the court...
Now why would they make them use the sex toy? Maybe I can fathom a rationale behind the nude photographs.
I cannot, but go ahead.
But here now, play with this sex toy... And I'll show you why you're disheartened with the way your body looks.
Well, see, this is the thing, right? So it's an anorexia doc. So this is the fucked up thing to begin with is anorexia is no joke. That's, you know, I have a daughter, right? So you have a daughter.
Neither of our daughters are anorexic, especially yours.
My daughter's 3. So, you know, this is, you know, body conscious, body image problems. This is a very serious, and this doctor is kind of creeping me out with his treatments. I don't quite understand, because I've seen pictures of anorexic women. They're not attractive.
Hmm.
It's like watching those scenes in Schindler's List. It is. Yeah. I'm sure they get, you know, to play Holocaust. We are going to get hate mail. Or fan mail from Mel Gibson. I don't know. One of the two. But, you know, they're not attractive. So I don't know if he's getting his jollies from this.
He said it was to help her. She was having a hard time with her sexuality and with her genitalia. It was to get her to feel better about her body.
I'm telling you, if this guy, again, Iborg, he wouldn't have had this problem. He wouldn't have had to ask.
He could have filmed it with
his
eye
rights
camera.
Violations all across from the Iborg. So that's fucked up.
Police found more than 600 nude photographs on the doctor's computer, which he claims were either already on the hard drive when he salvaged the machines from the streets, or that they were deposited there by a virus without his knowledge.
Wait. He's using a computer that he found on the street? I own a fucking computer, and I'm not a doctor! My computer wasn't found on the street. I paid for my fucking computer. Because I could afford the $300 for a piece of shit laptop.
Do you have 600 nude pictures on your computer?
3 of the patients claim they were forced to sign contracts allowing the doctor to take naked pictures of them. And one of the girls told the court, I just wanted to be healthy, so I did what he said.
I'd like to read that contract.
I just can't believe. I went through all these stories today on my lunch half hour at work. I didn't get through that story far enough to find out that the doctor found that computer on the in the trash. That just blows my mind. You own 2 computers. 3, technically, but one doesn't work. You're not a doctor.
I like how the hang-up here for you isn't the fact that the women were being taken advantage of, but that perhaps the computer was being taken advantage of.
I'm just wondering if anyone checked this guy's credentials, if he's actually really a doctor now. If he's getting his office equipment from trash.
From the opposite side of the spectrum, this story comes from the Weekly World News.
Yeah, which we all know is a very reliable news site. Almost as reliable as doctors fishing electronics out of the trash, but...
Whatever, they got Batboy in their logo.
I love Batboy. I actually love the Weekly World News. It's probably the most entertaining newspaper out there.
Fattest women in heavyweight title belt. Trust me, folks, these gals are not getting on a Southwest Airlines flight.
But trust me when he does say heavyweight.
Ugh. Betting is open on the battle between Susan Eman and Donna Simpson for the world's fattest woman crown. A 32-year-old woman is attempting to become the heaviest woman ever, but her nearest competitor, a woman who holds the record of world's fattest mom, is having a hard time letting go of her heavyweight claim to fame.
It's really good to have goals.
Susan Eman, weighing in at 728 pounds, from Casa Grande. Come on now. The jokes are right of themselves.
Come on, this is the Weekly World News. That's not fake.
Arizona is attempting to get into the Guinness Book of World Records as the world's heaviest woman and hopes to reach her goal by the time she's 41. The 2012 edition of the book will be released later this month. The title is currently open, a Guinness representative told WWN.
She's 32.
Yeah.
Oh, no, wait, a 32-year-old. Wait, I don't know.
Yeah, she's 32.
Well, 32-year-old woman is attempting, So she's hoping to become, by the time she's 41, so she's giving her 9 years to eat? She's going to put on some weight for the next 9 years?
Fuck, man. De Niro did it in a couple of months. The title is currently open. A representative from Guinness said it had been closed since 2006. Las Vegas oddsmakers are now taking bets. Well, it's really slow down there since the economy's gone bust, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
On whether Donna Simpson of Akron, Ohio, not as funny a name, or Eamon will win the fattest woman crown. It's going to be a great battle, and we hope that whoever the fattest woman is, that she shatters all previous records.
She'll shatter something.
The last woman to hold the title, 1,200-pound Rosalie Bradford, died in 2006.
That's disgusting.
Ugh. I urge you folks to not seek out this article.
I agree. This is also disgusting, though, folks. So we move from the fattest heavyweight championship to the Mirror, reporting that this girl has the biggest, widest bum, and she wants to make it bigger.
I hate the word bum.
I agree, but it's the Mirror, right? It's a UK paper.
It's the ass.
Is the Mirror? No, the Mirror's not the one that was owned by Murdoch, is it? That just got into a lot of trouble.
I don't know.
Yeah, those fucking sick fuckers, what they did. Anyway.
It's me bum.
It's me bum. Cheeky monkey.
I want me bum to be the largest in the world.
Yeah, oh fucking hell. So here we go. So rightly or wrongly.
Wrongly.
Most women are desperate for a small... Oh, wait. Yeah, you don't want a small bum either. You want a nice boot. So Dionne Washington can't imagine anything worse than having a small bum. Her massive bottom is 5 feet, 3 inches across and weighs a whopping... it says 22 ST, but obviously, again, you know, the same as three Victoria Beckhams or a baby panda. I love this website. That's the greatest analogy I've read. Her ass weighs about as much as a baby panda.
Three Victoria Beckhams,
and it's her greatest asset. So actually, she's
asset.
Making, yeah, bum bum ting. She's making 90,000 pounds a year, according to this website, and according to her on this ass.
But most of that's an investment by Sir Mix-a-Lot.
Boom, 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 ching. In the UK, they probably wouldn't get Sir Mix-a-Lot jokes. Although they should.
He likes big bums and he cannot lie.
Yeah, so basically I read this article today. So she was like, I guess she was dumpy as a kid in school and she was very, you know... They called her Big Bum Bertha Butthead and Bottom Feeder.
Wait, Big Bum Bertha Butthead?
I guess. I don't know.
It's the insult that keeps giving.
Not to disparage the Mirror, but I'm starting to wonder if the Mirror is the UK equivalent of the Weekly World News. So apparently she was always upset or whatever, and then some guy asked her out on a date, and she was so happy she fucked him. And then it turns out that was just, you know, according to the story, it was... It was a bet that this guy had with his friends that he wouldn't do it. So that made her more upset. And she, you know, it's a vicious cycle. I eat because I'm depressed. I'm depressed because I eat. But then eventually she got another boyfriend. And that boyfriend worshipped the ass.
That boyfriend's anaconda did not want none unless you had buns, hun.
Okay. Pans on the ground. Pans on the ground. So yeah, that boy worshipped that ass. He worshipped at the temple of butt. And he told her, no, he praised the butt. He worshipped the butt. He said, love that butt.
Can I get an amen?
Can I get an amen?
Can sister? I get a assalulia?
Yeah, an assalulia. There you go. That's a good one. And apparently, you know, she started posting pictures of her ass and started getting a lot of comments. So now she is ingesting 9,000 calories a day in the hopes to make this butt bigger.
And you know what, folks? Humanity's fucked up. seriously, we're so fame oriented that these women in this instance are obviously putting themselves at great health risks just for some form of notoriety.
Yeah, journalistic integrity. Side note, though, Weekly World News, The Mirror.
Oh, but these stories were actually posted elsewhere.
Oh, were they?
I just pulled them from these sites because they had the funnier
text. Baby Panda, man. That's awesome.
Right? So, I mean, that's the kind of society that we're in now, where everyone's looking for that, I guess, even more than that 15 minutes of fame.
Oh, they're not even getting 15 minutes, though. That's the thing. So you might not want to necessarily see
some people naked.
Big Bertha, bottom feeder there naked, but apparently some people in San Francisco don't want to see anybody naked.
From Forbes.
Forbes.com.
San Francisco may pass public nudity restrictions. Actually, this comes by way of the Associated Press. Nudists in San Francisco might lose the freedom to bear it all, at least some of the time. Walking around naked is legal. But did you know that?
No.
You people in San Francisco can walk around with your fucking cocks out?
It's San Francisco, man.
Ugh.
If you're going to San Francisco, wear a flower in your hair.
And that's all.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's
the Castro District.
We had to fight here in Ontario for a while. Well, not you and I. You and I publicly were the crusaders.
I think the guys fought very well, hard for that one.
Hard. And women in Ontario are allowed to walk around topless.
Yep.
But nobody does it.
A girl actually just did it.
Really?
Last week. She did it.
What, you got like a running no, ticker on it?
I wish I did. I wish I'd known.
She would have been out on that block.
Yeah, she was opposing one of our local news rags, the Ottawa Sun, has a history of whenever they show topless pictures of topless women for whatever reason, usually, let's face it, it's like gay pride parades or whatever, they blur out the nipples, or they bar out the nipples. So this woman decided to rail against the Sun for blocking out nipples, so she walked up and down the street for hours in front of the Sun building topless.
I wonder if this is the same chick who flashed the Kid Rock show. No? Not the same one?
I saw pictures.
Lots of 600 of them are on my computer I took from the trash.
From the trash. I swear, Oscar the Grouch is missing his porn now. He's got to jerk off to images of Elmo.
What?
What? But wait, you got to bring that story back up, because there's the funniest part about that story that I found is the supervisor who's proposing that, that San Francisco limits nudity is named Scott Wiener. So I'm just saying, it's like Anthony Wiener, Scott Wiener. What is... Politicians, if your name is Wiener, avoid anything that relates to cock. That's my advice to you. No cock. Your last name's Wiener. Cock, off the table.
Unless you're gay.
Nope. Well, it's San Francisco. But nothing. No cock. If you go to a farm and they ask you to see the cock, you say no. My last name is Wiener. What's wrong with you?
Cocks on the ground. Cocks on the ground.
So we've been talking a lot today, it seems, about image, body image, and all this kind of stuff. And
we have a theme.
We do have a
theme.
We didn't
even try.
I don't know. I'm content with my body. I wish I could be a little bit bigger.
I'm content with your body too.
Some people just don't give a fuck what they eat. And apparently, some people don't give a fuck where they find their news either. Because this is from FoxNews.com. I myself don't give a fuck.
Fair and biased.
Fair and unbiased, my friend. So a man says, "I love this story." You got to actually get to the end of this story for it to be funny. A man says he can't remember taking bite out of 2-foot python. So a California man was charged with animal cruelty after he bit a 2-foot long python. Police were called to a Sacramento neighborhood on Thursday to check on a possible attack victim. The victim, who had blood in his mouth, another witness told cops, his name's David Senk, he's 57, had taken 2 large bites out of a live python. First thought is, thank God it wasn't Alice or Ozzy. After checking out the snake, animal control officers performed emergency surgery to sew up a 2-inch hole in the snake's belly. So, don't worry about it, the snake's fine. And really, does anyone care if the snake was fine? It's a fucking snake. I say that now. I would care. I like animals. Anyway, so he was arrested and charged with animal cruelty. But this is the funniest part.
Wait a minute, you like animals?
I do like animals.
Even snakes?
Snake is an animal.
How about a
Trouser Snake?
So,
Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
See, seriously, what the fuck's the internet? That's all I got. So Cenk was arrested, and this is where it gets great. You would might think that a 57-year-old hillbilly eating a python is funny enough.
It gets better.
It does get better. He says, so this is his quotes. I did what? Cenk said after being questioned by Fox 40. If you find the owner, tell him I'm real sorry. I'm glad the snake will be all right. I'm willing to help pay for medical expenses. And at the very part, he also admitted that he doesn't really like snakes. I just love it. And the guy, there's a picture of the guy. I would want to drink with this guy.
He kind
of
looks like Earthquake from, WWF.
I don't know who that is.
I remember his name was John Tenta. Nah, he was brought in to have a feud with Hulk Hogan. Actually, he went on to have a feud with Jake the Snake Roberts.
Ooh. And
in that feud, which sparked it, he crushed Jake the Snake's snake, Damien. Right?
That's
initially,
why he would do the DDT. Damien's dinner time, man.
By doing the earthquake, like his famous move was to run and do a sit.
That. Yeah,
and he would just sit on top of you. But first, he would stomp all around you because that's the earthquake.
Yeah,
but he did that to Jake the Snake's snake in the bag. And Jake went to replace Damien with a snake called Revelations.
I do.
Ladies and gentlemen. You can date me by writing me at...
Or check him out on the WWE message boards under the handle...
Macho Bus Driver.
You're afraid of saying your name, aren't you?
What? I put it... It's in Twitter now.
All right. So, yeah. I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. If you find the owner, tell him I'm sorry I bit his snake.
I thought it was his own snake.
It would be...
Wait a minute. Hold on. If you find the, so what did he break into somebody's home and bite their snake?
I have no idea.
Was the snake outside on the grass?
For some reason, Fox.
There's some shoddy reporting going on here.
Yeah, Fox is not forthcoming with enough details. Kill surprise. But you know what? If I owned a snake, it would be worth having a hillbilly bite it, just for the hillbilly to apologize to me from jail. Because that's fucking funny. We should interview this fucker.
Sorry for biting your snake.
I love it. Tell him I'm real sorry. I'm glad the snake will be all right. And he's willing to pay for the expenses. That's
you know, Anthony Michael Hall was arrested on Monday.
What was he arrested for?
For fighting with his neighbor and getting angry that someone didn't approve of him ripping some plants out of the ground, the Los Angeles Times writes. The neighbor told officers from the LAPD Pacific Division that Hall tore up plants in a common area of their condominium. When the neighbor heard Hall and came out of his house to see what he was doing, Hall allegedly responded with an obscenity and threatened to beat him to a pulp. Afterwards, Hall went over to the neighbor's place and told him to step out of his apartment so the two of them could fight. Hall was charged with disturbing the peace and doubt that the LAPD was pretty pleased with itself. Huh? Whatever.
Poor Anthony Michael Hall. You know what? You know what the police are going to sentence him to? Detention on Saturday. You are going to have to write a letter, young man, about your behavior.
Sorry, I zoned out. I was thinking of Ally Sheedy.
Yeah, Ally Sheedy's hot. I actually think she is hot. I think she's super hot in Short Circuit. I'd totally fuck her over the robot.
Input.
Wait a minute.
You'd fuck her over the robot? That's a hard choice. You know what?
All right, fine.
I'd fuck Leia Thompson over Howard the Duck.
Really? Howard the Duck?
Well, maybe not that naked duck that was shown in the bath at one point.
Yeah, right at the opening, man. That gave me nightmares for my entire youth.
What? I'll admit it. When I was younger, I jerked off to that.
And suddenly his bestiality is explained. So, you know, what's interesting about that, the Howard the Duck... Duck tits is Howard the
wait. Hold on, sorry. Okay, duck tits is funny.
Why is duck tits funny?
Just those two words together.
Ooh,
sometimes two words together are funnier than as they are standing alone. Duck on its own, not funny.
Duck you mean tits. Daffy?
Ah,
ding. I know who Elmer Fudd is, people.
That was that one
just
guy.
Just not by Elmer.
That one guy who wrote us.
Elmer's like an old guy who like walks down the street and talks to himself when you hear Elmer.
Or glue.
Oh, yeah. Wasn't that like Elmer? Isn't that how it's pronounced?
Anyways,
anyway. So.
I also actually had the Howard the Duck soundtrack on cassette tape when I was younger.
Sweet, I guess. No. That's no longer in Webster's. So let's try to
make it here in Hunger City.
So Duck Tits, I remember that's always interesting because Howard the Duck was based on a comic book. An old Marvel comic book. I've never actually read it, but he's like a smoking duck or whatever. So
I've seen some pictures, but I haven't read it myself.
No?
I think there was a crossover between him and Spider-Man at one point in time. Or was that Top Dog?
No, I don't know. I think Top Dog was with Peter Porker, the Spectacular Spider-Ham.
Oh,
that was Jesus. The highbrow literary material coming out of Marvel in the 80s, folks.
I had a couple Peter of issues Porker, of that.
The Spectacular Spider-Ham.
I wonder if they should revamp that and go back to number one.
Yes. You should. Star Comics should relaunch all their stuff. I actually wish I had the old Madballs comics because they were awesome.
Oh, those were great. Or there's another guy named Slapstick. I don't know if you've ever heard of him.
No.
Look him up.
But speaking of looking up stuff.
And comics.
My friend and co-host here, the bus driver, drove the bus relatively recently.
You're going to milk that premise.
Look, if I'm the other guy, you're the bus driver. Can't I at least be the bus passenger?
Whatever. Back of the bus, Rosa Parks.
It's a fucking short bus. he hopped on his magical bus and drove on down to a local venue.
Yeah. What am I, the... Fuck, that would have been great. I don't remember their names now. Merry Pranksters.
Yes.
What am I, the fucking Merry Pranksters?
Yeah. I don't even get that. So you derailed me for a joke I don't even get.
That's not my problem, man.
All right, I'm going to speed this shit
up. Ken Casey and the Merry Pranksters on their magic bus.
Yeah, I told you, man. I get sick when I smoke weed. Why am I going to know that shit?
Magic bus.
Okay, this is how we're going to do things. Andre, bus, Ottawa, Courage My Love interview. Go.
No, hold on. All right. So what Mike is trying to get to is that was
a good throw.
At the beginning of August, actually on my birthday, Courage My Love played here in Ottawa. And as some of you listeners to Sir may or may not know, they've been getting a lot of airplay by Kevin and the folks over at Tell 'Em Steve Dave for their amazing, amazing tune, I Sell Comics. They're still teenagers, actually. Now, I've played for you some of their stuff,
and yeah.
You've agreed for their age.
Well, I just agree that they're good.
Really
age,
good.
Irregardless of age.
Yeah, this is really awesome.
It's one of those things, right? They sound good, but then when you hear their age, you might think they sound better.
Yeah.
But they just sound good to begin with, regardless of how old they are.
Like Menudo.
Ricky Martin. You can come over any day.
Live la vida loca.
Shake your bonbon. Shake your bonbon, right. Bitch.
Anyways, so I got to go down to see them here playing at the Ritual Club and posted the text of the interview that I did with them. But now I'd like to play some of the, basically the audio of that interview so you can kind of hear.
So take us to that wonderful night, your birthday evening at the Ritual Club. Enlighten us.
Here's the interview with Courage My Love. So, my first question is, how did you guys obviously you're relatively young people.
Yeah.
And it's to me, that was one of the things that I found so interesting, is that Kevin's flicks and people like Waltz and Brian and them could still attract such an audience. Mm-hmm. So how did you find out about Tell 'Em Steve Dave and such?
My friend, he's a huge fan of them too, and he messaged me saying, hey, they always have a band at the end, try putting your thing in. So we're like, okay, we'll send it in, and if something happens, it happens, and I don't know, I didn't really think anything would, but yeah.
Yeah, this is Mercedes. my parents made us watch Mallrats and stuff, and some
of those movies.
And at first I was kind of like, oh man, because most of the movies that they show us, I am not that into. But I really liked it. It was really funny, and yeah, I didn't actually realize that they were so influential, especially with all the movies and stuff that they've done. And then once we're on the podcast, we find out And I look them up because it's like, okay, that's sweet. We're sending our stuff in. I wonder what it is. And then I learn all the stuff about them. And just, I was like, okay, there's no way we're ever going to get played on this podcast. And we were. It was awesome. So,
yeah. So was it that you discovered Kevin's stuff first, or was it you discovered the Tell Him Steve Dave podcast? Because that's where I'm gathering that you got noticed first.
Yeah. It was right. TSD, I think.
Phoenix,
yeah, sorry. Tell Him Steve Dave first. And then Kevin Smith, I think he heard of us through Tell Him Steve Dave. So,
yeah. So, obviously, things have kind of shot up really quick, really fast.
Yeah.
Again, just listening today, when he played you first between the Plus One Per Diem show,
mm-hmm.
and then played you again right after, in between a bumper before he got on to Jay, him and Jay's show. And I've just been watching your YouTube videos climb in hits.
Yeah.
And I can see who comes to the blog and what they search for in Google. And since then, since you guys were first mentioned, it's now I'm getting a lot of Courage, My Love.
Yeah.
I Sell Comics.
Right.
Showing up on the lot. Mm-hmm. So how do you feel about, now obviously you're a band from the small little Ontario town.
Mm-hmm.
Now Kevin Smith's network reaches the entire globe. I got people that come from the blog from like Argentina and Norway and France and all these other places. So now your song is reaching everywhere. How does that feel?
It is awesome. I don't know. It's great because on our Twitter.
I love you, Phoenix. I love you, Mercedes.
Oh,
love
you. Love you too.
That'd be a good clip.
And David.
Nobody loves me.
Our Twitter is kind of the central hub where most of our fans come. Facebook as well, but mostly Twitter. So, and that's where we can kind of see, you know, that they're from Argentina or they're from Norway or, you know, different parts of the world. And I've noticed a lot of people now who are, you know, becoming fans, commenting on our videos and tweeting at us. People who we normally, I don't think, would have reached on our own. You know, it's kind of a group that, you know, the kind of group that listens to Tell Him Steve Dave and, you know, Kevin Smith's podcast and stuff, which I don't know if they would have been able to find our music by themselves. So it's awesome that we get exposure through, you know, those podcasts and stuff. We're really happy about it. It feels good. It's awesome.
And now it looks like you're heading down to Jersey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is going to be super cool.
It's going to be awesome.
We're going to try and head down to, well, I think we're going to New Jersey to open for them. And then we've booked a couple shows in New York already as well.
Right. Now, it just seems to me that Kevin is talking about you guys every day. Today, actually, I can give you the exact quote. He says he puts on your song to make him smile.
Aww. Kevin.
So nice. That is nice. And yesterday, he had an artist in the studio called Matt Jones, I think.
Mm.
And he was like saying, you should cover these guys' songs.
Aww.
So I was asking for cover versions. But what really struck me, speaking of cover versions, is that he mentioned maybe last week, to cover the song by Warren Zevon called Hit Somebody,
mm-hmm.
which just coincidentally happens to be the title of his next movie.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's kind of like a subtle hint to do a song for our soundtrack.
Yeah, he actually, we've been working on a cover and we're probably going to record it this week sometime and send it to him to see what he thinks. I don't know if it's going to make it.
Yeah, I'm not sure whether we're supposed to.
I actually don't know, but he did ask us to make a cover of it,
so
we're going to do that.
Well, I look forward to hearing that.
Yeah.
It's going to be pretty kick-ass. has much changed in your lives, do you think, in the last week and a half to 2 weeks? Like, this summer, obviously, has started to be pretty huge, what with this exposure and the Warp Tour.
Mm.
What are some of the changes that you feel like you're going through as an indie Canadian band, like, just starting out? Now, with just a flash of such huge exposure, like, what are some of the changes that transpire when that happens?
Just what I've noticed is we're still the same band. We still have the same goals and like the same ideas and we do the same stuff, but it's just a larger fan base that we've gotten and we're reaching more people.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, whether or not all of them are become fans or if they just, you know, decide that it's not for them, that doesn't matter because more people have heard of us now. which is great. And we're getting a lot more experience, you know, with the Warped Tour and stuff like that. And we got a chance to meet a lot of the bands that we like to play with and that we look up to. And with the whole Tell 'Em Steve Dave, Kevin Smith thing, it's just exposure that we've gotten. And a lot of, it's great, because I'll check my Twitter and people will write and just say, you know, if they like us and how much they like us. And that always makes me feel good about the band, you know, that we're doing something right, because people who aren't our friends and who aren't necessarily our target age group or whatever are still enjoying the music, which is what's important to me anyway.
One of the things that I've thought of, because you guys are still all in your teens, right? Pretty much?
Yeah.
Is that, man, I blew my teens away. I should be playing guitar. Uh-huh. So, like, how long have you been playing these instruments? Because I watch you nail that guitar solo on I Sell Comics. And I'm told that it was done in one take.
It was done in one take.
And that is friggin' amazing. Thanks. Right?
So, yeah, it was crazy.
Like, most teens have trouble beating the hard level on Guitar Hero.
Funny fact, I actually suck at Guitar Hero.
Well,
I suck.
Have you seen the South Park episode?
But, I've been playing guitar for probably, I don't even know, maybe like 4 or 5 years. And electric guitar, I've been playing in a band for about 3 years. So it's just, you know what, it's not that much, but it's mostly just practice and the willpower to do it and the motivation to practice. And I mean, they say, I mean, I did that guitar solo in one take, but it, you know, I didn't make it up on the spot. I already knew what I was going to play. But yeah, it's just mostly practice and the motivation to want to practice. How long have you been playing drums?
I don't know, actually, like 3 years now or something like that. I think about 3 years. And yeah.
3 years only?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, just 3 years.
She just started taking lessons.
I just started taking lessons. But yeah, Phoenix, obviously, I guess. Yeah, like, for me, it's more just kind of like, I really like music, and I don't really have anything better to do, right, than just play and practice. So, you know, other than that, I pretty much just go to water parks and play video games. So that's about it, you know. Yeah.
See, that's what I did when I was a teen.
Oh, yeah.
Water parks.
You play a lot of video games.
I played a lot. Man, I was around before there was video games.
Oh,
I had the Atari when you just had a stick and one red button.
Yeah.
And that was bliss.
That's awesome.
Right? Now you're looking at things that are so, like, I have an Xbox now, and I'm like, I can't master these controls, man.
Yeah.
There's too many buttons. And yourself, Dave, how long have you been playing?
I've probably played bass for about 3.5 years, maybe only three. Really only got serious about it 2 years ago when I joined the band. And I don't know, I guess that's really all I do right now is, like, I play video games and I'll hang out with friends, but other than that, like, I practice bass, I'll have band practice, or I'll be jamming with other friends playing bass. So it's just, I guess, if you do something enough, it's gonna stick in your head and it's gonna, hopefully it'll improve.
Right.
So, yeah.
If there's anything you wanted to say to Kev, what would you like to say to, like, that, and obviously the fan base that now comes to the blog based on your exposure on the Kevin Smith side of things?
Phoenix, I guess just to Kevin, thank you so much for everything you've done. You gave us a lot of exposure, and we really appreciate it. We're really happy that you like the music, and I guess the same to the Kevin Smith fans. Thanks for checking out our band, because we really appreciate that.
Mercedes. Thank you to Kevin Smith and to Tell 'Em Steve Dave for giving us the chance to reach a lot more people, and thanks for the people to listening to us. And to Kevin Smith, when you come to Toronto on August 15th, we should go get slushies. On me, my treat.
Are you paying for mine too?
Yeah.
Just to Kevin Smith, like, thank you so much for taking a chance with a Canadian band you didn't really know anything about. And to all your fans, like, thanks so much for checking us out and for saying hi to us on Twitter and everything, and telling us what you like about us. It's really cool, and hopefully we can get slushies.
Yeah.
All
right, so good job, Andre.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
I didn't know I had it in me.
Yeah. You're a regular.
That's those 2 years of journalism finally paying off.
Finally.
And by paying off, I mean not paying at all.
Yeah, exactly. So, no, that was a good job.
It was an excellent show. And again, I want to thank them for putting up that poster that I made for them. They had that out on the table. Again, I felt like I was like the oldest guy there, and everyone else in the crowd was pretty much tweens. What was that cruise we talked about last week?
The Bat Cruise with all the Twilight tweens?
Now it's not an unused Muse News story.
No.
No,
it's been used, and abused, man. That fucking cruise has gotten a lot of play on this site.
Excellent.
Again, we want to thank everybody out there in Podland.
Yes, keep sending us listening. The tweets.
Yeah, keep tweeting,
emails.
Keep commenting. At JMuseBusDriver is your tweet handle, right?
And give them your tweet handle.
Yeah, my tweet handle is Mike M. Author, at Mike M. Author. And you can send me off some tweets, too, because, you know, literally, I've been followed by porn people lately, and it's kind of creepy. I thought, oh, wow, the pod's up. People are liking it. They're following me on Twitter. Oh, yeah, I can't wait to go see who this person is. And they're talking about having great sex for 24 hours straight. And I'm like, that would be awesome, but you don't know me. I don't know you. This is spam. This is like John Saxon's Facebook page all over again.
Nobody knows what we're talking about.
Yep. John Saxon, folks.
So we're going to leave you guys with Courage My Love's Bridges, courtesy of...
Courtesy of Courage My Love.
That's fucking
Hello, I'm Andre, Lord of Redundancy. Bow before me. Bow before me. Bow before me.
Here's Courage My Love's Bridges.
You're the Lord of Redundancy, so you have to say it like multiple times.
Oh, good Lord. You made me say it again.
That's fucking funny. Peace out. Stay fat. Stay thin. Whatever you do, don't eat a snake.
Unless it's mine.
We out.